Exodus 33, verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Amen. We end our reading there at the end of verse 17. We look to the Lord to add his blessing to it. You may remember that last Sunday morning we had been looking at those verses together, and we'd been looking at this God's servant Moses. We got a glimpse, a real glimpse of fellowship with God. Moses sets up the tabernacle in the wilderness, or the tent of meeting, and there he met and he spoke with his God. And in that meeting with God, we got a picture of what real fellowship with God is all about. We began by looking at the relationship that Moses enjoyed with his God, and verse 11 simply says this. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I suggested to you that as far as this relationship was concerned, that first of all, it was intimate. There was real intimacy between them. The relationship was open, it was free. There were no inhibitions, absolutely nothing was hidden. Moses knew his God, and God knew his servant Moses. But it was also important, because we recognize that Moses had a very difficult task to do. He was the leader of this vast congregation of people. His leadership was often under great strain, and the only way that Moses would have coped was to maintain his own relationship with God. Now, having looked at that relationship that he enjoyed with God, I want us to move on this morning, and I want us to see the request that Moses expressed to his God. Look at the verses we read here in verse 12 and 13. Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. More than anyone else, Moses knew the task that God had asked him to do. More than anyone in this vast congregation that Moses was leading through the wilderness to the land of promise, Moses knew better than anyone else everything that was demanded of him because he carried a very heavy burden. And after all that had happened on Sinai, when Moses had gone onto the mountaintop with God, down in the valley as the people rebelled against God and reveled in their sin and began to worship the molten calf, after all of that experience and the way that God intervened and visited his punishment upon the people for their sin, Moses now wants certain assurances before he starts out again to lead this people to Canaan. I want you to note here the things that Moses requested from God. I wonder if you and I were to think about our own relationship with God today and all the great needs that we have, and there are many of them. I wonder if you and I were to sit down in the quiet place alone with God, I wonder what would be the things that you and I would deem important enough to pray about and to ask God for. Remember way back in the Old Testament times in Solomon's reign? Do you remember when Solomon came to the throne and God said to Solomon, "You come, you ask me the desire of your heart." Why did God bless him? Because Solomon asked for those things that mattered. And God blessed this man's ministry, although at the end, Solomon again forsook God and he went after other gods. And we know that he ended in decline. But he asked or requested from God the things that really mattered. Moses does the same on this occasion. I'm going to mention four very quickly this morning. And the first is this. It's companionship. Companionship. Moses looked into the future. He knew that there were difficult days ahead. And he knew that he needed a companion. Now God says to him in verse 14, he says, "Moses, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest." Look what Moses said. He said, "If your presence does not go with me, then do not carry us up hence." Moses needed the companionship of God. He needed someone to help him in the work. He needed someone who could identify with him, someone who could help him through difficult times. He didn't want the burden of carrying this people alone, because already you'll remember that Jethro, his father-in-law, had told him he was not able for such a task. And Moses comes to God and he asks that God would be with him. That God would be his companion, that whatever he had to face, whatever lay ahead for him and for the people that he was leading, he would have absolutely nothing to fear, because he would know that God was by his side and he would know that God was on his side. Isn't that what the hymn writer also thought when he penned these words, "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not go alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arms around me thrown. Then my soul shall feel no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur and his footsteps follow still." Beloved, how different is the journey today when you and I are aware of God's presence with us. Think of others like Moses in Scripture who had such assurance, and note the difference that it made to them and to their ministry for God. Think of Joshua. Remember how this young man who had been with Moses for so long stepped forward to carry the task into the next generation? Remember how he stepped forward with great fears and with much apprehension, and God said this to him. He said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you go." What assurance to a young man starting out in the ministry. Think of God's servant Jeremiah. called of God to a very demanding task, knowing he was preaching to a people who wouldn't listen, concerned about himself and his ministry, and God said to him, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." What encouragement, what assurance for a man in the ministry when others don't respond to the word of the Lord. And then think of the disciples themselves. You'll remember how when they stood with the Lord Jesus Christ as he ascended in their midst, their hearts were heavy. Part of them was elated because they had seen him alive and they rejoiced that he was alive. But part of their hearts was heavy, for the Lord Jesus Christ was going from them. What did he say to them? He gave them the Great Commission. And then he said to them, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Beloved, often the journey for us is no different than it was for Moses. Every one of us sitting here this morning, doesn't matter whether we're young or old, doesn't matter whether we're saved a long time or just saved a short time, the truth is we have our own problems and pressures to face, our own setbacks, our own disappointments to overcome. And yet, no matter how dark the way, we have the assurance from God's word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't it his presence that makes the difference between joy and despair? Isn't it his presence that makes the difference between victory and defeat? Isn't it his presence that helps us along the way to cope with all the demands and all the changing circumstances we find ourselves in? Beloved, what a thrill today to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Never alone, no, never alone. Why? Because Jesus is with me. Maybe this morning you need to hear that again. As the dark clouds gather around your home, as all the pressures and concerns of life weigh heavy on your heart, as you go out to face another week with all its demands, afraid of all that lies ahead of you, "How am I ever going to cope?" Jesus himself will draw near, and he will go with you. Moses requested companionship. He longed that God would be by his side. Look at the second thing. He requested guidance. Verse 13. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." What a prayer. Moses knew there'd be many difficulties and dangers. He knew from past experiences with these people that it wasn't going to be easy. They were passing through unknown territory. They were going to face situations he and the people had never ever faced before. It was essential for them that they knew the guidance of God. Beloved, God's guidance at times can be very difficult for us to understand. And one of the reasons for that is this, that God leads us individually and sometimes leads us in a different way. You and I could sit down this morning and talk about the way that God has led us through life, and you could tell me your story, and I could tell you mine, and they're both different. God has found us at different places, led us in different ways, brought us to the same place in life, and you and I look back and we can thank God all the way my Savior led me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? But he has led us in different ways. But the important thing is this, that it is absolutely essential that we seek his guidance, not just for all the major decisions in life, not just in the midst of all the crisis of life, but in our everyday living. Because you see, the words of Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 are still very important. They're not just a good address for a wedding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Young people, and it's lovely to see you, so many of you, so faithfully sitting out. Make sure that you seek the Lord's will for your life. As you start out thinking about your future and university and all the things that you plan to do and all the things that perhaps parents are trying to direct you into, you ask the Lord what it is that he has for you. And even though at times it's difficult for you perhaps to discern that, you wait for his voice. You keep in step with the Spirit. You obey his word, because that's how God will speak to you. It's not just for young people, this is for all of us. That every day we might know that we're living in the center of God's will. And when God does direct us, and we're sure that God is directing us, difficult though it might be, we must step out in faith and trust him as he reveals the next stage of our journey to us. Going back to the relationship that Moses enjoyed with God, that sweet, intimate relationship, I'm convinced of this, beloved, that the closer you and I get to God in the quiet place, and the deeper our communion with God becomes, we'll be in a better place to hear God say to us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." He requested companionship. He longed to know that God was by his side. He requested guidance because he wanted to walk in the ways of God. Here's the third thing. He requested communion. You say, "Pastor, you covered that last week. You spent all morning talking about the relationship Moses enjoyed with God." Yes, I did, but I'm going to bring it up again because here's what it says. Moses says to God, "Show me now thy way that I might know thee." That I might know thee. He wanted to know more and more of God. He wanted ongoing communion with him. He wanted God to bless him and thrill him and fill every area of his life. He wanted a deeper, greater communion with God than that which he already had. Was that not what the Apostle Paul wanted? I know people say we often use Paul as a crutch, but there are so many things about Paul's life that are worth remembering. Here's one of them. Remember how in the book of Philippians, as he spoke about himself and all that he had left and where he had come from by the grace of God, and then speaking of Christ, he says this, "That I may know him." That I may know him. And not just that, but the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul knew Christ and Christ knew him. And Paul had a deep love for Christ and Paul knew Christ intimately. But he said, "I want to know him more and more. And I want to know him better and better. I want more of Christ." And even though Moses' relationship was one of intimacy, he wanted that to deepen. And he wanted to know God more and more. Is that where you and I are this morning? That's not a criticism, that's just a simple question that I address to my own heart and life this morning. And I'll tell you why, beloved. It's so easy for us as believers today to find the comfort zone and then to stay there. Because we're happy there. And we feel that having got that far, we've achieved something. Why press on when I've been so far? Because there's still so much further to go. Why seek greater communion with God? Because there's so much more about him to know. Why this morning be concerned about pressing on? Because it's so easy to find the status quo. It's so easy to remain where we are and to be afraid to move on because it's safer where we are right now. But why should we be afraid of something which is for our own spiritual good? Why should we be afraid of being stretched if God's going to change us? Why should we be afraid of launching out if God wants to take us to greater heights with Himself? Why should we be afraid of something that is for our spiritual good? You see, growing in our faith, deepening our relationship with Christ might take us into areas we've never gone before. The thought of that leaves many of God's people a little fearful. They feel much happier looking back to where they were as to looking on as to where God might lead them. But doing that, you could paddle around in the shallow waters for years with God, when all the time God wants to have you swimming in the deep waters of the things of God. It was William Cowper who wrote that lovely hymn. It ought to be our response this morning. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Cowper had a brother called John. Great name, you couldn't be bad about it. But he had a brother called John, who in his earlier years had been a wild, reckless man. But he'd been converted and he became a minister of Christ. Throughout his ministry, he said that there was one thing that overwhelmed him, and that was his desire for a closer walk with God. And even as he died in great pain, his heart was set on knowing more of God. But William came to John near the end of his life. He said to him, John, how did you sleep last night? John smiled and he replied, William, it was a sad night, for I didn't get a wink of sleep. William said, what did you do? John replied, I endeavored to spend the hours in thought of God and in prayer. I spent the hours in the thoughts of God and in prayer. Warren Wiersbe once said to his congregation, when you can't sleep at night, he says, don't sit counting sheep like people tell you to do, just you talk to the shepherd. That's great advice, isn't it? In life, even approaching death, in all the service that we render for Him, this one thing should mark our lives, a desire for a closer walk with God. Companionship, he longed to know that God was by his side. Guidance, he wanted to walk in the ways of God. Communion, he wanted to know more of God. And then fourthly, grace. Listen to what he says here. He says, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Moses knew he needed the grace of God in abundance if he was going to see the task through. If the people were going to reach the land triumphantly, if they were going to gain one victory after another, if Moses was going to attain what he wanted, this sweet, intimate communion with God, then he needed the grace of God in abundance. I often wonder when I read this passage, often wonder, did God say privately to Moses, as he later said to the Apostle Paul, Moses, my grace is sufficient for you. Beloved, what a wonderful thing grace is. Grace for us today, as we sit here in our sin. Some of you are not saved. Or you've thought about getting saved and you know that you're a sinner. You wouldn't argue with me over that particular fact, but it's just that you've never yet trusted Christ as your Savior. And some of you maybe still think that you're going to get your heaven your own way by working as best you can, by your endeavors and by your efforts. And then the Word of God comes back and says, ah, but by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And it doesn't matter how deep down in sin you might be this morning, how far away from God you might be this morning, there is grace for you if you'll come in repentance and in faith. Trust Christ as your Savior. Grace for you in your sin. Grace for you in your suffering. Many of God's people today are finding it going tough. Some of their homes have been turned upside down. Circumstances going on that others know nothing about. Sitting heartbroken at home, even though out publicly there's always a smile on their face because that's the only way they can cope. And they're saying this morning, Lord, how am I ever going to get through this? My grace, God says, is sufficient for you. Grace for our sin and for our suffering and for our service. Maybe today some of us feel we've given enough. Maybe some of us feel that we're getting weary in the work and should I continue with this, that, or the other thing? Or maybe should I step out into a task that God is asking me to do when I feel so inadequate and I'm fearful and have much apprehension? Am I the person God wants? Should I do this? How can I do it? My grace, God says, is sufficient for you. And on I could go this morning and I won't, because time would not permit me. But Moses knew that he needed the abundance of God's wonderful grace. Philip Doddridge pastored a congregational church. And although he wrote about 370 hymns, none of them were actually published until 4 years after his death. One of those hymns is entitled, Grace, 'Tis a Charming Sound. Let me quote you a verse or two. It says, Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet while pressing on to God. Isn't that the same as Newton said when he simply penned it like this in that great hymn? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. What a fellowship Moses had with God, intimate and so important. What a request he makes to God, companionship, guidance, communion, and grace. Beloved, listen to this. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. None of us should be content until we find that same sacred, holy ground. May God encourage us in our relationship.